brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, at which every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He is Lord, He is above all, He is over all, He will always be the head, regardless of whether people know it or not, accept it or not, like it or not. It does not change the fact of what is true. And also, it does not change the fact that at such a time as this, in all that goes on in the earth, in as much as people fret and worry, and scriptures tell us that men's hearts will fail them when they see the things that are coming upon the earth, and we move more and more and more towards those days of just upheaval and terror and struggle, and with all of that, in the midst of all of that, know that God is in control, and there is no surprises that all of this has been known from the foundation of the earth, and those that walk with Him have a sure reward. Those that walk with Him have life and peace and breath and direction and purpose and reason for being in their time in the earth. We don't exist in this life like other people that are of this world exist, which is detached from reality, detached from what is real and what is true. No, rather, the child of God lives in connection with the Spirit, and His time in the earth, and time being a construct in this paradigm, so His time in the earth has purpose, has reason, has meaning. And for what we go through in our time on the earth, there's both meaning in our own personal journey, our own personal discovery, and there's also in our own personal understanding of self and who we are in Christ, and who we are as being consummated with Him. And there's also meaning and purpose in what we do in our time in the earth, our impact, our role, our responsibilities. Now, never let who you are be defined by what you do, because that's the way that the world works. Because the world works as a machine. And in any machine, they need to know what each cog in the wheel does, because there's going to come the point when that cog in the wheel needs to be replaced. And so then that's functional equivalency. And so when the cog in the wheel needs to be replaced, they just put another one in there and they move the other one off to the grave. No, for us as a child of the living God, who we are is what's important, not what we do. Because what we do can change, and it can change dramatically, and it can change dramatically in a very short period of time. My own life has been marked by incredible sweeping changes. Typically, every 2 to 3 years, God just changes it dramatically on what it is that I'm doing, but always in connection with Him. Does that mean that I won't do something for an extended period? Not at all. Does that mean that I won't do something for very short windows? Not at all. It just seems to be a little bit of a pattern maybe the last 10 years or so. But in that process, incredible experiences, incredible relationships, incredible things that have been done and accomplished and been part of my own experience, and I've learned, and in all of that, it has been to be in step with God, because He'll move us to and fro in the earth. God wants His people to be flexible in this time. And when you're flexible and when you can flow with Him, you can always flow around the obstacles and the things that come up and the struggles and all of the other things that the enemy would try to do. You can flow around it because you're not beholden to a system. Within the way the world works, they're stuck because they're all hooked into that machine, and so they're stuck having to play their role, and they can't move with God. When you can't move with God, you're constantly trying to find some reality that's going to work for you, but you can't flow with what He's doing. When Jesus was walking among the people, and what did Jesus do? He would say, "Come follow me." And if people wanted to be with Him, they had to leave everything that they were to go follow him. Notice how many times when Jesus was going about to and fro on the earth, and what would happen is people would say, Jesus, why don't you stay here? You know, why don't you? And they would try to keep him. And what would Jesus do? He would say, you know, no, you got to come follow me. See, with Christ, if you wanted to follow, if you wanted to be with him, you had to follow him. He wasn't going to show up and fit your paradigm. He wasn't going to show up and fit your perfect daily routine. He wasn't going to show up and be part of your weekly experience. No, if you wanted him, if you wanted those words of eternal life, if you wanted to hear his voice, if you wanted to be in his presence, you had to drop everything and go and follow him. You had to leave that which was your reality, that which was your paradigm, and exchange it for that which he had. He was that pearl of great price that you saw, and you knew that that was it, and you had to want that more than you wanted anything else in this life and in this world. And so many people didn't want it that way. So when Jesus showed up and he cast the demons out of Legion, the guy that had the Legion of demons, I should say, and those demons went into those pigs, and thousands of them rushed down the bank and drowned themselves in the water. And what happened when people showed up and they saw that man that was demon-possessed in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, and they saw all the dead pigs in the water, and it freaked them out. They're like, Lord, you got to get out of here. You got to go. Like, they couldn't deal with it. Why? Because it rocked their world. And that truth that entered into their life was too much for them to deal with, and they didn't want it there. They didn't want that light there. There were other times that people wanted the light. They liked it when Jesus showed up, but they didn't want to. They didn't want it to interrupt their daily routine. So Jesus would come into their town or their village, and he would speak the truth, and he would do miracles, and they would see all of that, and they would be like, oh, this is great. Jesus, stay with us for a while. Stay here. Stay here. And what would he do? He was like, no, you know, I got to go. And if you wanted the truth, it was there, and they were made aware of it, but if you still wanted it, you had to go follow him. And it came on his terms. Some people just couldn't handle it and didn't want it around. Other people said, okay, I want it, but I want it on my terms. I want a Jesus that's going to fit my life, my reality, my choices, my plan and purpose for my own life, the nice, perfect cookie-cutter routine that I've got going. I don't want to interrupt that. So Jesus, why don't you stay here with that and let me work you into my daily devotional? And Jesus said, nope, it's not how it works. See, he is Lord, and Lord means he is the master. He is the one that's above all. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one that says, you will either stay in this village, or you will travel, or you will go. He's the one that says, you know, here's how you live. Here's what you need to do. Here's the place that you need to go. Here's my instruction for you this day. That is the role of a master and a servant. You know, for us as a servant of a master, we hear the voice from our master and we follow his word. We follow his instruction. And in the following of his instruction and his word, we don't rebel. No, we don't at all. But in the following of that, we also find out that our fulfillment and our peace come from following his instruction. Because there's life and there's light and there's peace, and his presence flows through us as we do that. There also was a set of people that when Jesus would show up, they would realize that he had the words of eternal life and they would follow him. So the 12 apostles are a case in point. They followed him. And there were many, many others that followed too. But those were the 12 that Jesus selected from among them. And said, okay, you guys, you get to be close to me, and I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to instruct you in the words, because they would later be those that would instruct others. All of them less Judas, who later betrayed him. But even that was part of God's design and plan and purpose, because he was going to also teach us in the future out of what happened with Judas. Now, for the child of God, you've got to realize that it's going to be on His terms. And in it being on His terms, there's also something that's incredibly freeing and incredibly liberating by that. See, it's not now, we don't have to defend the truth, because the truth will always be true. The truth will remain true no matter what. So it's not necessarily our place to have to try to justify it. We stand for it, yes. We express it when necessary, yes. But the truth will always cut through. The truth will always resonate. The truth will always be more powerful than a lie. Just as light is more powerful than the darkness. When the light shows up, the darkness runs away. When the truth shows up, the lies disintegrate. Why? Because truth shines bright. Truth has a foundation. A lie has no foundation. That's why liars collapse. Because when the higher that their lies go, their house of cards go, when the whole thing collapses, it just falls out from underneath them. And listen, no liar gets away with anything. It eventually comes back to haunt them. It eventually comes back to get them. So, you know, in that respect, you can have almost even a little bit of just understanding for where they're coming from. Not that you give it a pass, but just realize that they are the second that somebody lies, the clock starts ticking. The second that somebody goes the way of the lie, the clock starts ticking. Some may get a little bit more time than others, but it all runs out on every single one of them. And there's not a person that lives the lie that it doesn't ever catch up with, ever. In the history of humanity, is there one that it didn't catch up with? From a natural perspective, from an eternal standpoint, it comes back to haunt every single one of them. But when you go the way of the truth, there's freedom, there's life, there's peace, there's hope, there's understanding, there's the direction of the living God. You walk with His presence and His purpose, and His mind is made known to those that follow Him, that trust Him, that listen to His voice. Oh, wow. There's an intro. Oh, thank you, Lord. And you know, for us, you know, this day, I know there's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot going on all over the place, and there are places where already you see cracks in the demonic infrastructure. You know, I've been very encouraged to see the things that are going on in Sri Lanka in this day, and how so many of the seeds of truth and light that have been sown there are coming through, and how there are those that are that just things shifted quickly over there. I'm encouraged to see how, in the midst of what's going on in the U.S., that in the midst of all of it, there's still those that are speaking truth, and their voices are getting out, and people are hearing the word, and things are shifting. Now, will things get worse before they get better? A good possibility, yeah. Because as you see an approach of a changing of an age, those that were the ruling classes of the day, and we live right now in the day of the lower merchants, in a dark time in that respect, and a closing of that time. And in the time of all right, scripturally, where is that? Well, scripturally talks about in the book of Revelation that the merchants were the world's great men. So as we see the transition from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, we will also see a transition from the time of the merchant and the lower merchant. Where, what are some hallmarks of the time of the lower merchant? Well, everything's a commodity. Everything's a transaction. Everything is... So that's... Now, this is the canvas on which... The play and the stage is set as far as how things work in the world that we're in. So things are transactional. How does it work in the time of the merchant, the lower merchant in particular? Well, you do this for me and I do this for you. It's an exchange. Everything is an exchange. Everybody's sized up by their value and their merit in the system to others. So if somebody's going to be of value and of merit to you, then they're brought close. If they're of no value and no merit to you, then they're pushed away. So that's why in the time of the merchant, the first question being, after what's your name? Well, what do you do? Why? Because in the time of the lower merchant, you're being sized up constantly. Your value, your merit to the exchange is always being checked, is always being tested by those that are around you. And to the degree you play into that system is the degree to which you give up who you truly are. Now, in the time of the merchant, it's a difficult time for the artist and for the scholar and for the person that is somebody that's a teacher or a justice or somebody that enforces justice. How can you function in that day and that age when that is the backdrop, that is the canvas on which things are done? How does a politician keep their way clean when they've got to sell, when they sell themselves time and again just to become that person of political standing? So the whole thing about selling their soul, where does that come from? Well, it's the time and the age of the merchants. The merchants are the world's great men. And in the age of the merchant, of which, Lord willing and in God's time, we'll see a close of that age, all is transaction based. And in that time, what are some of the hallmarks of that time? Well, simply, the objectification of women is something else that's a mark of that age. On top of that, too, also women playing into that. And how many women play into that? So there's also that takes place in that age. And, if people don't want to play the game, then they're pushed to the side. So, but the thing is, when you don't play the game, and when you are actually true to who you are in Christ, then you will see the actual proper manifestation of your gifts, your talents, your skills and abilities, because they're untainted. They're not for sale. See, some of the most talented people that I know, whether it's in the arts or in music or in philosophy or in scholarship or as teachers, or you just go down the list, but what they do is not merchandised, and they function under a trueness to the gifts that God's put in them. And then when those are there, and they've also been, and that's also been laced with the power of God's Holy Spirit, there's an incredible power and an incredible spiritual residue on everything that they do. So when they make a piece of music, there's spirit, there's big S, spirit, on that music. When they make a piece of art, it cuts through like nothing else because there's inspiration and power in it. When they do something, it is laced with the Spirit of God, true to who they are, not for sale, and that is real. Because you can't in the time of the merchant sell that which is real and true and expect for it to not take away from the core of what is there in the works that you do. That's why we do all things as unto the Lord. Are there those that are made to be merchants for God? Yes, there are. And there are also there are those that are there. And in this time and in this age, when they give that up to God, they function under that leading of the Spirit of God, they will do some great things within that realm because they've been made for that. But when the backdrop of the age and the time that we live in is that's the overall that is there and that people are experiencing, it gets difficult for others to function that are not made as merchants, but yet they're trying to merchandise themselves in order to function, and that's when they lose themselves. So as we continue to go forward to stay true to who you've been made to be, to who God has made you to be, and to stay true to that is always going to be important, because you don't want to lose that which makes you you. You don't want to lose that which God has put in you. You don't want to go the way of the world because the world has nothing for you. The world, in and of itself, has nothing for you. So, I just love drinking this tea while we talk. Okay, so the world has nothing for you. But one thing that we will see more and more of is as there is the cosmological shift, and as we move forward in time, which is a construct of this paradigm that we're all living in, as we move forward in time, you're going to see the lower merchants get more and more desperate to try to hold on to control because they see that they're losing it, it's slipping. Things are shifting, and as they're shifting and they can't keep control, they're trying to through different ways and means. Now, the thing that they don't understand is that this is actually something that's taking place in the realm of the spirit, something that's taking place in the realm of the heavens. Cosmologically, a whole different shift that's taking place. And instead of going quietly into the night, or instead of letting that transition take place, what they are trying to do is force their way, fight against the stars, fight against the waves of the sea, and to try to stop the transition that's going to take place. And in that process, they will do damage and harm to others, even though they can't stop the overall thing that will happen and take place, no more than they could stop a wave of the sea from crashing, standing there like a 12-year-old boy on the side of the beach. You're not going to stop it. You may see it on the horizon. You may try to do something, but you're still not going to stop that which is going to come through, because it will come through. And it will be what it's going to be. That's just how it is. So for the child of God, how do you live in this time? Well, one is be true to how God has made you. Be true to that which God has put in you. Be true to the skill that He has put in you. This is where we've said this for years and years and years, but your success is in your obedience. It's not in the outcome or the result. So as you just do as God has for you to do, that is going to be success. There is going to be peace in your work. You do it and put it out there as unto the Lord and stay true to that, and it's going to be authentic. So that's one. Two, be flexible in this time. In this time, don't let your roots go too deep into anything in this life. Go through this life with a very loose grasp on things. And, don't be attached to the fruit of your actions, be they bad or good. See, here's the other side too, is that when you do things as unto the Lord, you are now an instrument of God in the earth, and whatever it is that happens or takes place, whatever the repercussions are, you are just doing it still as unto the Lord. So you're not waiting for the result. You're just in the flow with what He's doing. And when you're in the flow, you're flexible. That means that if necessary, you can just like the early church, you're fine with the forsaking of all things. You're fine with the forsaking of your possessions. You're fine with whatever it is. You're fine with those things. It's fine. Because why? Because you are walking with God. And then also when you have success, you don't get elevated in that success or wrapped up in that success, because that too can be a bondage. You can get wrapped up in your success and want to stick around into that, and that can stick to you too and keep you bogged down into a base material reality. So whether it be failures, successes, highs, lows, whatever they are, keep your eyes on the Lord and keep a very, very light touch on that which you live in this life. Speak truth. Be a reflection of the light of the living God in the earth. Let that light flow through you. Love, Love as God puts it in your heart to love and to share and to give, to be an instrument of God in the earth, to be a force for good in a time of darkness and evil and the raging of the lower merchants in what they're doing. And why do I call them lower merchants? Well, partly because, you know, that's one way that they're also described in other texts and other philosophies, but also, too, because, you know, the upper merchants have, they'll have some moral, some value, some premise, some code of ethics in how they do things. The lower merchants, it's just about the bottom line. And they will sell their own family. They will sell their own mother for a dollar. You know, that's probably a pretty strong way to put it, but you get the point. In that there is so in that in the lower merchants, they will lie, steal, cheat, kill, and destroy. So to steal, to kill, and to destroy, as in John 10. Verse 10, that's what the devil comes to do. That is right up the alley of the lower merchant, because if that's what's necessary to advance business, then they will do that. Money is seen as the thing to be prized, along with power and control. But here's the thing, for those that have bought into that thinking of that age, is that is a falsity, that is an illusion. That age is just allowed by God, actually. It's allowed as a time of a test, and it's allowed to see who will be true to what's really in them and who will go the way of the age and follow the deception. You don't want to go the way of the age and to follow the deception, because you lose who you are. Do you trust that God will take care of you? If you trust that God will take care of you, that He'll be true to His word, as it says in Matthew 6, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the things that you need that God will take care of, He's going to take care of your food, your clothing, your shelter, your place to rest. He's going to take care of the things that you need, the things that are your concern. God will take care of. But if you don't trust that, if you don't trust that He has your best interest at heart, the one that gave you breath in your nostrils and in your body and gave you the ability to even have conscious thought, that He will also take care of you in this life. And if you don't trust that and you go the way of the merchant and you go the way of the age, then you lose who you are. You want to be in possession of your soul. You want to be one with your Creator. You want to walk in step with Him in your time in the earth. That gives your time here purpose. Then you don't have to live here fragmented. You don't have to live here as a fragmented soul with all over the place and scattered, never truly fulfilled because you've never accomplished the purpose and the reason for being that you're even put in the earth. No, rather, when you commit yourself to the Lord and then the gifts that He's put in you, when you allow Him to exercise those through you in such a time as this, then you will see with your own eyes the manifestation of His plan and purpose in your life and through your life. And yes, when the backdrop of a particular age is a certain way, you know, we'll all, even though we struggle a bit to find our way within that age, but we're mindful of it, we're in the world, but we're not of it. So you may have your things that you do in that age, in this age. You may have those things that you do, but you're in the world, but not of it. You are around it, but it's not where your heart, your intention is there. You may do certain things just because that's what God asked for you to do, but you may do some business, you may do some exchange, but the place that it takes in your life is a far, far secondary to what it is that God has put in your heart to do with your own skills, your own talents, your own abilities that need to be manifest clean and as dedicated unto the Lord. And what we do as far as how we do a livelihood or whatever, again, put that back before God. If you got to be a janitor, be a janitor. If you got to be a CEO, be a CEO. If you got to be anything in between, fine. But that is inconsequential compared to that which God has put in your life and your heart that you need to be true to. So let God instruct and direct and guide your steps. Be true to who He is, and don't, amidst the time right now, don't go the way of the world, because there's no fulfillment in that. And frankly, here's another part of it too. The merchants, they've exhausted their coffers. They don't have it to even give anymore. That's another thing too that you start to see in this time, is that they've made bad trades. They've made bad deals. They've made bad exchanges. And they've bankrupted their own systems. So they're all falling apart. That's part of how the age is actually going to flip, is because they've been marked by greed. And in the greed that they've had, they've overextended themselves, and they're going to collapse and bankrupt themselves. They already are bankrupted. They're just about to live that out. So if we transition out of this life and this world in this time, it's not a big deal for the child of God. It is a blessing for us to leave this life, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. So that's not really a concern for us. But how we live while we're here, that should be something that we're mindful of. So how do we live while we're here? In connection with the living God, we do the part that God has for us to do in with gratitude and in obedience, in holiness, as God would instruct and show you how to live that out, not in a system of man-made religious controls, but in a system of just listening to the voice of the Spirit and following His leading and direction each and every day. And He will have you do different things along that path that will be unique to you, so that you are in the place to be as optimal as you can be mentally, physically, and spiritually. So that's there. But we live in that state of connection. That's how we live. And we don't exchange that which is real and true and spiritual and eternal for that which is base and temporal and time-bound and about to be destroyed. No, that's just bad. That's bad business. No, it's a bad exchange. It's a useless and worthless exchange. So just an encouragement to you guys this day too, to let God take you deep in that which He has for you. Let Him take you deep in that which He's calling you to at such a time as this. Things are transitioning now, and as they transition, they're going to get more turbulent, but that's fine. You know, just there's going to be a few things that you're going to need to do. So you do those things, you do your part, and because you're part of the body of Christ. And just even as we do our part here, you do your part where you are. You pray, you walk with the Spirit, you allow Him to speak through you. You make that contribution where you can, however it is that God would have you to do it, mentally, physically, materially, whatever. You know, you will contribute, you will help, you will lift the box, you will do whatever it is. Whatever you need to do, you will do it. You will stand in that street corner, whatever. But God will lead and direct and guide you. And as He does so, that is going to have the impact necessary as we transition in time and in ages. So this is a great, incredible, amazing time to be alive and be a part of what God is doing. So trust the Spirit of the living God and how He speaks to and through you. Go with what you know, even when you sometimes get a little bit confused or a little bit sad or struggle with stuff. Just go with what God has showed you last and know that He's always in control. And know that there's others that are out there that love you, that are praying for you, that are cheering you on. We have a great cloud of witnesses that cheer for us, that are there, that are in, and we have Jesus Christ Himself interceding at the right hand of God for us. And whatever we ask for in His name, in connection with Him, we know that it's done. So in that, we pray and we ask God right now for protection, for provision, for direction, for the leading and guiding of His Holy Spirit, for rest and peace understanding and knowledge and discernment and that sweet presence of the living God in each and every one of our lives, all of us, everybody listening to this broadcast this day, and everybody on the Faith Mix team, all of us, we pray for that this day in Jesus' name, and we ask for it in Jesus' name, and it's done. Amen. Amen. Hey, love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye.